Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمات ورضيت لكم إسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله والجمعة مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس خلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا and also قل يا أيها الناس يا أيها الناس سبحان الله قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس وصدق الله العظيم Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. And a report from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the Prophet said, "Teach your children to pray when they are 7 years old." And I'll just say, "Wadribhum." We'll say more about that as well. Wadribhum, if they do not do so when they are 10 years old, and separate them in their beds at that time. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beloved brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are returning to a subject that that is a specific category of a subject that we began before Ramadan just passed, and it is still under the master heading of the five obligations for building Ummah. And the five obligations for building Ummah are family, intellect, religion, the self, meaning your own soul, your psyche, etc., the self, and property. You have to have these five pillars in order to have a stable, established community. All those things have to be in place. Okay, so we have chosen to address each one of those, as you might say, as a chapter in the whole subject. In right after Ramadan, we went on with the self. So we weren't going like F-I-R-S-P. First talk about family, then talk about intellect, then talk about religion, then talk about self, then talk about property. All those are going to be included. However, during Ramadan, there was a, let's call it a signaling to me that I got a sense that, okay, well, maybe it's a good idea to talk about the self. And so we spent time on that, whatever number of weeks that has been, and I'm satisfied that I consider it, for me, a subject complete for the context that we're speaking from. So with regard to family, however, we had started family in the beginning before Ramadan, and we got so far through it, okay? And then when Ramadan came, we went to the subject that, okay, so now we're going back. And FYI, we had covered about six parts on the aspect of family before that, I'm going to call it Ramadan break. But there was a path that we were following that we want to stay on and complete likewise. Hopefully, with Allah's help, you know, my intention is not to overextend on that subject, but I do kind of relent with regard to, well, hey, you just got to say it. This is what's involved. This is what it takes, and that's all a part of it. So, inshallah, I pray with your patience that you'll be benefited. Now, so we radiallahu anhu, which says, play with them for 7 years, teach them their dad for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, and then let loose the reins. So we speak to that, and so I'm going back to that paradigm, but we're also adding to it I'm going to call it a skeletal outline so as to follow it, right? My intention is that it's more able to follow it. I hope I don't complicate it. Okay, but we started with the ayah, the first ayah of Surah An-Nisa. This is the first one that I recited in the opening, Surah An-Nisa. O mankind, regard your guardian evolver who created you from a single self and created of like nature its mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds countless men and women. And be regardful of Allah, whom you implore for your mutual rights, and be regardful of the relationships, for Allah is ever over you as a supervisor. And we add also Surah An-Nas, say, I seek refuge with the guardian evolver of mankind, the king, a ruler of mankind, the lord of mankind, meaning the God, let's call it, the God of mankind. From the whisperings of the sleeping shaitan, who's whispered into the hearts of men from among men and jinn. So this is a part. Now there's a pattern that I hope to bring to your attention as we address this. And the reason is that when you understand the pattern, then you understand the path that proper family development follows. Really, the whole story in abstract is in the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran. If we were to go layer by layer, you know, verse by, or rather line by line, in that first ayah of Surah 4, the whole story is actually told there, but it's told in abstract, which means that it's the truth, but you don't get the details. It's by breaking it up that you get that you get the details, which is what the khutbahs, inshallah, are intended to do. But that particular verse is not the key verse, even though it's critical for us to understand just in that verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he created you all from nafs and created of like nature its mate, and then from the two of them scattered like seeds countless men and women. So the idea is to how do we get to men and women? And what is that self? What is that mate of that self? And what is the relationship between those two that make men and women possible? So without giving much elaboration, the point is that Allah created us all from a spiritual essence, from one spiritual essence. And each of us, male and female, are an embodiment of the excellence that Allah has put in that one nafs. That one nafs, nafsun wahida, it holds the excellence of the masculine and the feminine. Take those as abstracts, not as concrete. This is concrete. Abstract is what doesn't reach your senses, right? Abstract is not something that you can see, smell, taste, feel, hear, or what have you. It's real, but it's abstract, right? So this nafsun wahida represents the reality of our self. But then Allah embodied the feminine primarily in the female body. So hear that difference. Feminine, abstract. Female, concrete. Feminine, abstract. Female, concrete. I got to say it one more time. Feminine, abstract. Female, concrete. Masculine, abstract. Male, concrete. Masculine, abstract. Male, concrete. Masculine, abstract, male, concrete. All right. So in every female body, that's concrete, is the essence of the feminine. So the embodiment of the female is a representation of the excellence that Allah intended, which was in nafsun wahidat, in that spiritual essence, when we were like twins in that spiritual womb that we'll call it nafsun wahida. But when Allah embodied them, he embodied the essence of the feminine in the female. He embodied the essence of the masculine in the male. So what do you have then? You have males and females who come from a unitary spiritual essence, nafsun wahidatin, but in which was the excellence of the masculine and the feminine. So Allah created two bodies, one female and one male, and each one is a composite container, et cetera, for the excellence, by nature, for the excellence of each one, right? So, and then God says, and from the two of them, scattered like seeds, from the two of them, who is the two? Nafsun wahida, and then the masculine, feminine, here it goes, when they come back together. When a man marries a woman and a woman marries a man, do I need to repeat that? When a man marries a woman and a woman marries a man, they form that unit again, but concretely. So a married man and woman represents the representation of nafsun wahida, but in three-dimensional space. Then from the two of them, meaning what? When a man and a woman cooperate with each other in accordance with the nature that God has given them and his plan for humanity, then we get countless men and women. All right? Now, so what comes as a product of that? That's when we're talking about family. Now we're talking family. Nafsun wahida, masculine, feminine, male, female, marriage, babies, husband and wife, children, family, now the work. Well, continues. It already began when you got married, got pregnant, had children. All right. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has his plan. I'm trying not to overthink it. Allah has his plan, right? Because it's always in the plan. إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I'm making an earth a khalifa. All right. So God said, I know I, and now I'm speaking as a personification. I know you all don't know what it takes in order to get to the goal that I have for you, addressing us, if you will, as humanity. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you how to do it. And he gives us the Deen al-Fitr, the way of life that's established on the pattern of nature, and he gives us a model in Muhammad who tells us how to understand in 3D space. This is how you live it out. When you get together as husband and wife, this is what's going to be involved. This is what you're going to have to do. When you have children, this is what's going to be involved. This is what you have to do. All right? So moving very quickly to Ali, who we say he's given us this effort. So, okay, how do you do it? Primarily, fundamentally, from 0 to 7, as it relates to your children, play with them. Do all the other things, but one of the critical things you have to do is play with them. When it comes to them being age 8 to 14, you have a lot of things to do, but essentially the thing to do for them at that time is teach them the adab from 8 to 14. Yes, you have all the other things that come naturally that you have to do, but the main thing that you have to do, the main thing that you don't want left undone for that period of time, failure to teach them manners. Okay? That's the short version, adab. And adab, and just a little footnote on that. Adab means under putting things in their proper perspective, putting things in their proper relationship, right? And that goes for everything. And in that verse 4:1, وَتَقُلَّهَا وَالْأَرْحَامِ وَتَقُلَّهَا وَالْأَرْحَامِ means and be regardful of your guardian evolver and the relationships. You see, like right now, you're in a situation, right? There's a relationship. There's a relationship between you and me in this situation. Taqwa dictates how you are supposed to, pardon me, adab dictates how you're supposed to behave, how I'm supposed to behave in this situation, which is a relationship. So there's a proper adab for me, there's a proper adab for you. And as long as each of us respects the adab for the situation, that is the proper thing to do, and that's how we get the best benefit out of the system that we are relating to each other through, called Jummah, here today, right? So you have to respect the order, and that's what taqwa is also about. But taqullaha wal arham, taqwa is, okay, what am I supposed to be regardful of in this situation? This is the situation. What am I supposed to be regardful of? Okay, that's a question that's raising up your taqwa. You say, okay, taqwa dictates that I do this. Why? Because I know that the adab for the situation is that and whatever else it might be. Okay, so now that's an example of, that's just Juma. But when you're at home with your husband, with your wife, with your children, when you're in a classroom with your teacher, when you're on the job with your employer or employees, when you're doing business as someone who's providing a service, there's an adab for all of that. And taqwa tells you, when you're conscious of it, as you should be, taqwa said, okay, what's the proper adab for this particular situation, right? Now, alhamdulillah, the beauty of it is that Allah, when he says, I perfected for you your way of life and completed my favor upon you, I prefer you al-Islam as the way of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure, perfect, most high, and Muhammad, his model for us, tells us about everything we need to do in life. Oh, man, how is that? That's not possible. Yes, because life is not as complicated as we tend to make it. The bottom line is that you just need to have the abstracts, because I just tried to tell you, you just need it. When I say play with the children from 0 to 7, let's say if you don't know anything else, nature is going to tell you, look, I need food. So God don't need to reveal, hey, give your kids some food. God doesn't need to reveal that. God doesn't need to reveal that they need a house. God doesn't need to reveal that they need clothes. God doesn't need to he doesn't need to reveal that. What needs to be revealed is what you need to do for their nature. Okay? And that's what we get in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in his companions, as we see from Ali. So one reading, this is offline reading that I felt like summarizes pretty well what's at risk. It says, when parents don't satisfy the natural urges and desires of the child then resorts to wrong ways and means, often linked to sin, to try and give himself the necessary push to build a sense of self and importance, personality, independence, will, self-trust, and likewise. Weakness, baseness, and the lack of trust are all characteristics, the foundations of which are in the lap of the father and in the bosom of the mother. A child who has not been treated like another human being or a valuable member of the family cannot be expected to have a well-formed personality in adulthood. Okay. Tarbiyah, as you know, tarbiyah means parenting, and tarbiyah also means education. Tarbiyah means parenting, and it means education. That's the responsibility. When you become a parent, tarbiyah becomes a responsibility inherent with being a parent. Okay? So, okay, then the question becomes, okay, how do I do it? Here's an idea from Ali. Play with them for 7 years. Be their friend for 7 years, and then let loose the reins. All right? That's the general paradigm that's very useful, to put it lightly. And we're going to walk through a little bit of that. Let me give you what the, quote, unquote, the secular science is, and I don't mean that in any kind of negative or pejorative kind of way. That's just what it is. You know, that is, they feel like they have come to a conclusion, and we simply verify their conclusions to the extent that it corresponds with our nature as revealed in the religion and as communicated to us from the prophet and his companions. They say, okay, well, yeah, good. You got something right there. That's good. But it's not right because you said it. It's not right because you did the research. It's right because it's confirming what the religion has already told us. And our way of life is Deen al-Fitr. It's the way of life that's established in the pattern of nature. So when what you bring me from your research, when it matches well with what Allah revealed, I tell you that's correct. You don't tell me that's correct. I hope y'all with me. So when we take information, we're bringing them to the witness stand for what we what Allah has already revealed to us and which we claim and accept. So we say, I got a witness over here. Carl Jung, would you come over here and take the stand, please? And then take from that book. Because there's some people that, well, I don't take it from the Quran. I don't take it from Islam. I take it from, quote, unquote, the scientist. Okay, well, here's the scientist that says what Allah said, okay? And as we keep going, just from this da'i perspective, as we keep going, you'll find that al-Islam is already, to put it lightly, light years ahead of your research. And when your research finally does come down, you know what? This guy said that 1,450 years ago. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those scientists who do that independent research wind up becoming Muslims also, because they say, he said that, and yeah, he said that, and yeah, he said that. And he didn't have an education. There were no colleges or universities. There was no public education, and he had that. Oh, I believe in what he believes. Alhamdulillah. So let's move on. So there are three phases that match up with this: play with them, teach them the adab, be their friend. There are three phases. And those three phases are imprinting, modeling, and socializing. That's the academic, secular pattern. Imprinting, modeling, socializing. What's the imprinting phase? The imprinting phase is between 0 and 7. Those are their numbers. The imprinting phase is from 0 to 7. The modeling phase is from 8 to 14. The socializing phase is from 15 to 21. That's their model. Okay? Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, play with them from 0 to 7. So which means what? In the imprinting phase, the most important thing for us to do as tarbiyyin, as those who are parenting and educating, the most important thing is play with them. And it's most important for the parents. It's not really as much about, well, let them go out and play. Yeah. Okay, that's good for them to play because there are developments that happen during play that are very necessary cognitively and otherwise for the child to develop. Eye-hand coordination, the sight and all that, the ability to use their body parts and all that. All those things have to do with what they need to in order to do other things as they grow older and as contributors to the society, like learn language. They have to learn language so that they can be communicated with, instructed, et cetera, and play their part in the society that they are part of. All this takes place in the context of play. During that period of time, you're actually, I'm going to use the term, front-loading them for the prerequisites that they're going to need in order to make it to the next phases. One of the simple ways of seeing it for as far as education is concerned is to, we know in the way the school is right now, you learn to read from the first grade to the third grade, and then you read to learn from the fourth grade on. So first grade to the third grade, learning to read. Fourth grade on, reading to learn. But you had to get that skill from 0 to 7. And the breaking point between infant and between being an infant and ceasing to be an infant, becoming a child, if you will, is the mastery of language. Mastery of language. Language stabilizes about 7 years old. And as we've said before, infant is a French word, which means without speech. But once speech stabilizes in a human being, they're no longer an infant. They are now a child. Okay, so that phase goes on. Okay, so imprinting, 0 to 7, modeling, 8 to 14. Modeling is what? Is the phase where you're supposed to learn the adapt, teach them the adapt. And what does that mean? Relationships. What does that mean? Knowing what is right under a given situation. It's modeling. And the main thing that the child between 8 to 14 needs to learn and understand this, the nature of the human being cooperates with that, which is to say that nature, the nature of a child between 8 and 14 is they want to know what is the right thing. Their nature, and this is one of the critical things that we have to learn how to do, address the child's nature, not their attitude. So, you know, you get different kind of attitudes at these different phases, right? And really, that one right there, 8 to 14, that's a tough spot right there. Alhamdulillah. All you got to do is just remember how you, unless you are really, really, really different, think about kind of, let's stick with you guys. How you know you gave your mama and daddy a hard time when you were 11 to 13? Let's just put it right there. You're 11 to 13. I know I was a handful. At 11 to 13, right? And most of the boys in the hood, we are a handful in that age, right? Allah, alhamdulillah, we're blessed. I'm looking at some in the audience right now who are very, very wonderful, very, very different kind of children. Now, they could be doing the Eddie Haskell thing. I think some of y'all know about it. Okay, see, okay, good. You know what I'm talking about when you're talking about the Eddie Haskell thing, right? MashaAllah, it's all good. Let's move on. So they want to know the model. So when our child and misbehavior is rather identified as typical for that, actually the name, the term rahiq, the term that is translated, it goes further. In teenage, it speaks to this very nature. You know, find it hard to follow the rules, right? One of the reasons that age range finds it hard to follow the rules because they really don't know what the rules are. Okay, so they'll do one thing, and really what they're looking for is a reaction, right? So the child from 0 to 7 may get a hold of something and break something that's valuable to you. In actuality, it was like a scientific experiment, though they couldn't or wouldn't call it that. It was, let me see, what is the tensile strength of this right here? Oh, okay. Well, as far as that goes, what was that? Your prescription glasses, right? It's like, what you have? You go off like that, you fail to recognize, look, I was just trying to see how strong. They can't tell you. I'm just trying to see how strong it was. I said, does it bend or does it break? Same way with so many other things. Oh, this writes. Okay, it writes on paper. Let me see if it writes on the wall. Oh, yeah, it does write on the wall. Oh, so you can write on everything. Then you go look. What the? It's an experiment, right? That's zero to seven. 8 to 14, same thing. The experiment with doing something that, well, maybe my mama will get mad, maybe she won't. Maybe my daddy get mad, maybe he won't. Let me see. So we go do that. Okay, they're mad today. Okay, let's wait for a week, and I'm going to go do the same thing. Let me see what happens. Boom. All right, now if you get your butt whooped, the next guy says, okay, well, we can't do too much of that anymore. But you understand, the point is that during that phase, the modeling phase, they're just trying to figure out what are the rules. What are the rules? What's the right thing to do? Their nature is looking for that, right? So then that means that we have to be alert, tapua, right? We have to be alert to the fact that, okay, they're doing this. This is an attempt to try to understand something, right? And so when you understand that about them, then you communicate with them in such a way as that, okay, I know you're saying to yourself, I know what's going on with you because you are in that range, the modeling range, and so therefore you want to know what the rules are. Okay, well, let me tell you what the rules are. You don't have to go off. Just look, this is what we do. This is what we don't do. This is why we do it, and this is why we don't do it. Tarbiyah, that's education, right? That's what was wrong. Wa'adibuhum lisab'in. You're supposed to be in that mode with them for 7 years. So that by the time they finish getting that feedback from you, they have been well educated in that phase of their life. Now they're prepared to move on to the next one with some knowledge, which is the socialization phase. The socialization phase. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, be their friend for 7 years. See, after 14, the main thing that they're looking for, remember, at every phase, it's what the nature is calling for. 0 to 7, the nature is calling for play. Because it's kind of a, literally, it's like, well, I say literally, analogically, it's like wax up and wax off, right? So it's like, what I need is play. Nature is saying that. Why? Because as I play, the developments that come with that play, they develop things that I'm going to need for the next phase, right? So when we make sure that they get enough of that with our focus in mind, now they move on to phase two, the modeling phase, with all the prerequisites necessary to get the greatest benefit from the modeling phase. See, now, we as parents, Rabia, we as parents, we're supposed to be on that curriculum. That's the curriculum. You don't have to wait for the school door to open up. Every day, all day, as long as they are your children and dependents, this is our responsibility. Okay, so the prerequisites for 8 to 14 come at 0 to 7. The prerequisites for 15 to 21 come from 8 to 14. So if you do the right thing for them during that adab period, the 8 to 14, now they are equipped with the foundation needed in order to do what's best in the socialization phase. Listen, 60% of the personality is formed by the time you are 6 or 7 years old. 90% of the that's phase one, 0 to 7. 90% of the personality is formed by the time you're 10 years old. That's in the modeling phase, second phase. 90%, it's done. 90% of what the person is going to be for the rest of their life is done at 10 years old. And some of us as fathers, mashallah, if we do ever pay attention, we don't even start paying attention until they're past that time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. May Allah forgive us, have mercy on us, guide us, protect those who we have our shortcomings and had our shortcomings. Mashallah, you can't do what you don't know. But the idea is to just understand what it is now. Right? So even as grandparents, right? Okay, grandparents, that means you got grandchildren. Okay, where they at? They're 0 to 8? Wait, where they at? They're 0 to 7? They're 8 to 14? What is it? 15 to 21? Where they at? So as a grandparent, we're going to do it for that one. I missed that early boat right there, man. But now here come the others. Now I know what I didn't know then. Okay, we do it then. with Allah's grace, with Allah's help, with Allah's guidance, with Allah's forgiveness, with Allah's mercy. And then inshallah, Allah will bless you and say, okay, got a chance to straighten a piece of it out, inshallah. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So, okay, so the fundamentals for that 15 to 21 age, 90% of personality formed in the modeling phase. Now the other 10%, where does that come from? 60% in phase one, 90% extended phase two. Now the other 10%, meaning 100% of who they're going to be, is happening between 15 and 21. MashaAllah, I use myself as an example. You have used yourself as an example, especially those of us who had that significant emotional event of the Nation of Islam. So the Nation of Islam, MashaAllah. Some of these hard-headed boys like me and others running the street, operating just on this side of the law, or operating on the other side of the law, but MashaAllah, just never getting busted, not because you're so slick. God just has a different plan for you. So I was like, doing that. And then Nation of Islam hit us with Yaqub's history, mothership, deportation of the moon, white man is the devil, black man is God, they signed me up. All right? That was the only way that a personality changes after that formation in that third phase, the only way that that personality changes is through a significant emotional event. Something has to happen. Let's use Malcolm X, Al-Hajjaj al-Shabazz, right? In the prison, they call him Satan. I mean, you know, you got to be pretty wrong if they call you Satan in the prison, right? But what did he have in prison? A significant emotional event. And out of that, Malcolm Little, we got Al-Hajjaj al-Shabazz ultimately, right? But otherwise, he would have continued on the same trajectory that he was on that put him into that mind state that he was when he was being called Satan or the devil in the prison. All right. So in terms of that 10%, if you want to know who your child is, you want to know your child's personality, quote-unquote, your offspring's personality, all you have to do is just know who their best friend is. Who is their best friend? Now, if they don't have any friends, I don't know, that could be good or that could be bad. You know, because there's a whole lot of crazy folks to be friends with out there nowadays, right? But the point is, the other 10% comes from a connecting between those who have been socialized in phase one, phase two, like you. That's why you like them, because you are like them. And so you get hooked up with each other, and sometimes you just don't know why. You don't know. You just, man, that's my friend. That's my boy. That's my partner. And a parent can try to break them up, separate them, blah, blah, blah. It's like that becomes really problematic because that's their best friend. Unless their best friend is a good friend. Okay, it may be an option. It can go either way. So why then does the Prophet, the Athar of Ali, which is a companion and a model from the Prophet, so why did he tell us to be their friend for 7 years? Because that's what the nature is calling for. The nature needs friends. So if they can't count you among their friends, that's a problem. My mother is not my friend, my father. I don't mean you sit out and smoke weed with them. Hello, let's just get that out of the way. I'm glad y'all didn't laugh at that, because you got folks out there, they think that that's the way to prove that you're a friend. Let them drink, let them smoke weed with them, ha ha he he at the funky videos or whatever. I just use that as a euphemism. No. Be their friend. You have set up the prerequisites. Now they accept you as a friend. So therefore, what do? You pay attention to the opinions of your friend. You pay attention to the attitudes of your friend. And if your parent is your friend and you know your parent likes this and doesn't like that, and they have done all the phase one, phase two, it's like I better pay attention to the fact that my parents don't like this and they don't like that. You still have a hand in when that window of influence starts to close as they get older. That clay that was wet from 0 to 7, it was drying out from 8 to 14, it's pretty, pretty solid in the 15 to 21 phase. So basically all you can do is sort of like, well, let me tell you this as a friend. I think if you go down that road, it's going to be a problem. But it's your choice. See, because what we have to accept as parents and as adults, as Muslims, is that at puberty, and it's a longer story, mashallah, and inshallah next week we'll spend more time with it. At puberty, that's when the real battle is joined. That's the real battle, right? And in al-Islam, it's said to be mukallaf. That's when the record of the angels starts being written for every human being when they cross that bridge of puberty. When they cross that bridge, the angels take out their pens. Okay. All the time before that, if a child was to pass before puberty, they go automatically into Jannah. Guaranteed. But if they don't pass before puberty, then whatever's on their record at the time becomes a part of the judgment for them, right? So this mukallaf being at that phase, that's when it really starts. So inshallah, next week we may spend more time drawing the linkage between the nafs al-amar, the nafs al-lawamah, the nafs al-mutma'innah, which is all inside of this as well. And I'm letting you know this because Allah has made what we need to know. You talk about curriculum, what we need to know is already laid out. It just has to be pointed out to us, and we just have to grasp it. And then you, in your own place, you have to do it. And this is also one of the ways to assess, okay, what's the state of my relationship with my offspring, et cetera, right now? How did it get that way? What did I do? What did I not do, et cetera? Just understand it. Just understand it. Allah is oft returning, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may, inshallah, it's his will. He may provide you a way in. He may provide correction for them, for those things that we missed because of what we didn't know. And so Allah said, out of a grace to you, I'm going to fix this part. In you and in them. Right? Inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم So the socializing phase, be their friend for 7 years and then let loose the reins. So according to this paradigm of al-Islam, from al-Islam, after 21, you got to let it be, meaning that, okay, you're on your own. No, it doesn't mean like you're on your own. It simply means that don't really feel that you have the power, the influence, or the responsibility to make your child that is over 21 do and be what you want them to be. That window is closed. They have to willingly do what you ask, tell, whatever, them to do. To try to do otherwise is to go to war. And it doesn't end well for either, because that's not the fix. The fix is not to be at war. The fix is to say, لَا يُكَلَفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا وُسَهَا. Allah places on no soul a burden beyond its scope. لَا وَزِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. And the verse says, even though they be nearly related and calling out to you, all of my children, offspring that are over 21, I can't live for them. Cannot live for them. And Allah has told me that. The religion has told me that. For me to try to do that is to violate a boundary that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Now, you know that you out of line. And if you continue to do it, you're going to suffer along with for that shortcoming. Because God told you, you can do this, but you can't do that. So what are you going to come with? But what is that? What religion is that? Where is that in the Quran? Where is that in the reports of the Prophet? If Allah is the true guide, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you to what is best if you are sincere. No, if you really want what Allah wants for you, then you submit. Oh, but stop. Look at Abraham. He's the model. And actually, just before this verse that I have in mind, I think it's 57. Can't hold me to it right now, mashallah. I'm pretty sure. Just find that section in the Quran. Said one who followed such a way was Abraham. And he approached his Lord with a sound heart. That section of the Quran. The verse just before that, it talks about Noah. Talks about Noah and the path that Noah followed. And then the verse that I'm referencing right now is the verse that says, and one who followed such a way was Abraham. Right? And he approaches the Lord with a sound heart. But refer what I'm saying back to Noah. You got to think about Noah's family and Noah's son. And Noah asked, oh, save my son. God said, he's not your son. That's what Allah told his prophet. He's not your son. Why? Because his behavior is not like yours. And don't ask me. This is God. And don't ask me what you don't know about. This is Allah telling a prophet about his child, informing him, what you think is not what you think it is. So what you have to do? You have to decide if you're going to see it the way Allah would have you see it, or you want to see it the way you want to see it. Okay, you want to see it. And what happens is Allah said, whoever goes past the signs of God, he sends them Satan as an advisor. You ever want my advice? Okay, here I got somebody. They'll hook you up. Literally. Listen. This obedience to God and Allah, it's not theater. It's not theater. It's not rhetoric. It's not, don't I look good? Don't I look good in my Islam costume? Now I'm talking costume identity. I'm not talking dress. I look like a Muslim. I talk like a Muslim. I got the Muslim vocabulary. I do the Muslim rituals. But what about qalb and salim? What's really in your heart? Very important. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like Allah owes us nothing. We owe him everything. And you can decide that, oh, my relationship with God is so good, I can do whatever I want to do. Allah will make you a cautionary tale. So you remember this one over here? Look at what's on it. Those three that we talked about, I'm about done. Those three that we talked about last week, one was a martyr, one was a qadi and an alim, you know, a reciter and a teacher, and the other one was a giver, a rich man that gave in charity. Each one of them was shown Allah's graces upon them. Allah asked them, what did you do because of these blessings that I gave to you? He said, I did this, I did that, I did the other. I'm not going to go through the whole hadith. And God told each one of them, you lied. That means they have lived their life and died and come before God, and God, knowing their heart, said, no. You died as a martyr because you wanted people to say you were brave. Well, God, you You gave from your wealth in charity so that people could say you are open-handed. That was what you wanted, and you got that. Now go to hell. This is our law. So it's like, you want to take a chance with that? الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا أنتم الكافرين رب اجعلني محكم الصلاة من ذريات ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يحكم الحساب والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا نبت وتموت. So stick him on your home, come Allah. Make our roads straight and evenly, no space between us, straight time, divided by our roads, not straight, our hearts won't agree. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء وله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربهم والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفس إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر وسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. ثناء الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. من الله وزمك. Couple of announcements. Give me your name again. It's been 3 years. Yes. Munir. Alhamdulillah. Munir. I just want to acknowledge it because I know it's not an announcement. Brother Munir, his brother is Muhammad, right? Your Mu'az. Munir was the one who passed, right? His brother passed away. Some of you know about Ghazali Markets. Ghazali Markets is one of the, he's in the family and one of the managers of the, was one of the managers, the one that I go to all the time. He's on 73rd. So we just want to say, Inna Lillahi, Inna Ilayhi Rajiun. Keep him in our dua, inshallah. Can't sound like him. So now a couple of announcements. And that is, Alameda County guidelines, remember, masks are again mandated and must cover the nose down. Okay, take conversations off the floor. Yusuf is working on stuff. That's good. Otherwise, what? Is the speaker off? Okay. So, mask mandate must cover from the nose to the chin inside public buildings until further notice. Birthday recognition for Amani Zaina. Did I see her in here today? Yeah, Amani Zaina Shabazz, alhamdulillah. Kamaya Coffee, Efa Hamid. Did I see Efa Hamid too? Oh, Allahu Akbar. Muammar Ali and Kiyama Nasir, all these mid-June birthdays, alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to bless you with many more in health and prosperity, alhamdulillah. We have more of Imam Darnell's new book on the way. So go ahead and put your order in. They're in the way. They've been in the way. They're on the way. They've been put on the truck. They're coming. We do have this one, however, from Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, one of the prime students of Imam Wadidi Muhammad. Come on. It's like he is really 2.0, WD Muhammad 2.0. That's me talking, right? So very, very rich presentation. I think this is the second book or this is the first one? This is the second. So he has two books out there that he's working on. So you need to have this book. You need to read it. Very easily read, well put together, substantive, of course, from a student of Imam Wadidi Muhammad. You got to get this book. All right? So get that. You get that in the back with that. Oh, and also, we're looking at anniversaries. Rashad and Munaima Shaheed, June 15th, 21 years. Takbir, time flies. And also, Ahmed and Saba Akbar, alhamdulillah, it's been 3 years. Alhamdulillah. I remember being there with Yusuf in Hawaii for that wedding. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, get the Hifaz game. If you already got one for yourself, get one for somebody else. Pass it on. This is a very critical cultural artifact that helps to build Ummah as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.